Well, good morning again. As you make your way back to your seats, I just want to welcome you here again. I'm Keith, and I am blessed to be this campus's pastor. And I have a question for you. I wondered if you wanted to maybe just have a little bit of fun this morning before we begin the sermon. No? People don't want to have fun? Come on. I bet most of us would like to, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little activity, and I want us to reorganize ourselves this morning based upon how we're going to vote on November 5th, you know, for the President of the United States, okay? So with that, on the count of three, don't do it yet, okay? Don't do it yet. But on the count of three, I'm going to ask those of you who will be voting for Donald Trump to move to the left, just for fun. And for those of you voting for Kamala Harris to move to the right, again, just for fun, okay? And if you're planning to vote for Kennedy or maybe some write-in, or if you're not voting at all, you're just staying on the fence, you know where your section, the middle section's for you, right? So are you ready? Again, on the count of three, one, one and a half, two. Okay, we're not actually going to do that. We are not actually going to do that. But with that said, did you kind of feel the temperature in the room rise a little bit? And did you maybe feel the tension inside of yourself shoot up a little bit? And maybe even significantly? You likely did. And why? Why? Well, because if we actually did that, okay, odds are things may get heated around here. And perhaps quickly, right? As maybe some things would surprise us, wouldn't they, with who moved where. Now, with that, you don't need me to tell you that there are certain topics, church, that almost instantly polarize us. They polarize us as people, even as sons and daughters of God. They polarize us from one another, meaning that there are certain issues, right? There are certain topics where people find themselves at polar opposite ends of the spectrum. And for each, these are in regard oftentimes to important issues, right? Important issues to them and to us oftentimes. I mean, there's just not much room anymore in the middle, is there? So our question is this. Our question is, how do we as Christ followers, how do we live in the midst of such polarization, in the midst of such division? Well, that is exactly, call us crazy for stepping right into it, but that is exactly what we want to tackle and process over the month of August together. And we're going to do that here in the series called Polarized. Now, before we begin, we're going to pray, okay, because most certainly, we are going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to tackle this kind of topic, okay? So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the space and this place that you have drawn us to this morning in whatever way that may look like for each of us. And Lord, we just come here this morning as we begin to look at your word, asking you to show us how to navigate the chaos and the tough times we live in as a son or daughter of God. And so, Lord, would you just speak to us over this day, over this series? Would you give us all wisdom? You know, we sing these songs that you are the cornerstone. Would we believe that? And would we believe that you have the best plan for us? And would we see that in these ideas of how to navigate polarization? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so as we have likely experienced, conversations, okay, they often just happen spontaneously, don't we? You know, we just find ourselves talking to someone about a variety of topics, and these conversations, they may be short or they might be long. They might be intense or they might be laid back. And it comes to an end, and we both walk away, but as a result of the conversation, as simple or as in-depth as it may be, you can't argue, church, that we as individuals, as a result of the interaction, we walk away and we're either closer to one another or we're farther apart. Which, do you know what that means? That means something. That means that our conversations, they matter. They really matter. They really do. Now, with that in mind, let's listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Christ followers in the church in Corinth. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 20. So from now on, writes Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Church, what a high and what a holy calling. What a high and holy calling. How privileged we should feel to be invited into this by God. I mean, if you love Jesus, if you follow him, then you have a ministry of reconciliation. In fact, say that with me. If you love and if you follow Jesus, say with me, I have a ministry of reconciliation. Wow. I mean, have you ever like really sat and thought about that? Jesus Christ, church, Jesus, the great reconciler, gives you the ministry of reconciliation. So what does that mean for you? That is something to wrestle with. That is something to process, even and especially in polarized times. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to make a statement related to how this truth, that you and I as believers, we have this ministry, how it relates to the polarization that we are often prone to in our conversations and our relationships with one another. So I'm going to give this statement, and then I will clarify what I mean by the statement, okay? You ready? Here it is. Even when a conversation isn't about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. So with that, what's the gospel? Well, this is a word found in the New Testament, and it was a word that was familiar in Roman times, in the Roman times of Jesus. It wasn't exclusive to him, in other words. You see, when a new Roman emperor began to rule, these messengers were sent out. They were sent out to go throughout the Roman Empire with the gospel, meaning the good news that there's a new ruler in town. There's a new ruler who will be better than the last one, so rejoice, right? But as that played out, not always, right? Sometimes things got worse. Sometimes things didn't get that different. Kind of how our elections are so important. They are important to engage in, but sometimes they go poorly and sometimes good and sometimes not much changes anyway. As it is a slow, but it is an important journey to good change to get involved in and to partake in. But anyway, with all that said, we as Christians, well, we have a different message. We have a different gospel. And that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And when the gospel of that hit the scene in those New Testament biblical times, it consisted of this, that there is a new Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This one who lived a sinless life and died to take our punishment, but then rose again, church, from the dead so we can be reconciled to God, because God no longer counts our sins against us in our faith in Christ, because Jesus, in his suffering, in his death, in those things, he satisfied the payment required by God for said sins. So this gospel is that Jesus, and in him, we find forgiveness. And we find hope, and we find new purpose in life, which is good news. That's good news. That's the gospel. And coupling that with this ministry and this message of reconciliation that we have been entrusted with, well, it means that even when a conversation isn't about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. Leading us to have to ask things like, as people interact with us, do they feel safe or don't they? And as people interact with us, they're either drawn to Jesus in and by us or repelled. For each of us, we must wrestle with which is it? Which is it for me? And real quick, let me clarify for a second what I don't mean, okay? What I don't mean by even when a conversation isn't about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. Here's what I don't mean. I don't mean that in any and every conversation that I have with someone, that I should talk about Jesus. I may have like 50 conversations with someone before the time is right to talk about Jesus. We need to discern that. Because listen, okay, hijacking conversations to talk about spiritual things can actually, do you know what? It can actually do more harm than good. It can. It can make us seem out of touch with what's going on in the world around us, in the world in which we currently live, if we jump into that too quickly. And you know what? We've all likely met people, or we've been people, who after some conversations, others would state, I really dislike those born-againers, right? That usually means that they do not like when one, complete strangers, talk to them about Jesus in confrontational ways, or in too quick of ways. Or two, that may mean when every conversation that they have with this born-againer that they know turns the corner every time to be about Jesus and how they must have him in their life. Now, don't hear me wrong either, okay? Don't hear me wrong. We should be ready to witness. We should be ready, but not feel forced to do it, okay? Not feel forced to do it too quickly or maybe to the point of nausea if someone isn't ready. What I mean is oftentimes it takes dozens and dozens of conversations before it is appropriate to bring up Jesus. And each and every conversation leading up to that point, going back to what we said earlier, each and every conversation leading up to that point, it matters. It matters because, again, even when a conversation isn't about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. Now, do some of us tend to speak too little or maybe let opportunities pass us by that the Lord is teeing up? For sure we do that, right? You know, my friend Bert and I, we were talking this week kind of about this reluctance that we sometimes fall victim to regarding sharing things of the faith. And he likened it to maybe how back in the day, we never asked that girl out, right? That girl that we really liked. And we were afraid to even talk to her, when in retrospect, we know we should have. My point is, there is a tension, church. There is a tension in this. But overall, okay, building trust, it takes time. Building trust, it takes patience. And sometimes every conversation that is not about the gospel, still being about the gospel, it means taking that time. It means practicing that patience and knowing the ways in which we must build trust and how that is by one grace-filled conversation at a time, which we'll talk more about in week 3 of this series as we continue to look at the Apostle Paul's actions. But for right now, I want to look at his letter, okay, to the church at Colossae. It's in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. And this is where Paul talks about what our lives, okay, should be like once we join them with Jesus. And this is really cool to look at Paul and to consider his ministry because he was a pioneering church planter, right? Which was based upon what? Conversations. So it can help us with ours in a polarizing world. So with that, verses 2 to 6 of Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So let's unpack this together. As we participate with the Holy Spirit, carrying on our ministry and our message of reconciliation, this gospel. So what should we do? Well, first Paul says, pray, right? Pray. In our ministry of reconciliation, that we are even trying to communicate to those we feel completely polar opposites of, where do we begin? We pray. We pray. Which is by no accident or coincidence one of our core values as a church, right? We ask God, church, we ask him for open doors to share the good news. We pray for them. And that when those opportunities, when they come along, that we may be clear, not saying too much, not saying too little. We pray for opportunities to talk with people, and we keep our eyes open. And we pray for opportunities to also listen to people, not just talk, but to listen to people as well, to get to know them. All of this is what Paul means by being watchful. In saying that, I want to share this really helpful tool to do this, okay? At the Western New York Wesleyan Church District Conference, and the other pastors of our conference, we got to hear from the head of Global Partners, which is our missions arm of the Wesleyan Church overall, okay? And in his talk with us, he shared this conversation starter, and it is one that I personally and many found practical and easy. And I want to share it with you, okay? And we're going to have business size card handouts for you to take on your way out to help you remember it and document it, okay? They'll be on the high top in the foyer. And our biggest encouragement with that is grab one, but implement it, okay? So with that, the first question to get a conversation going, it's pretty simple. It seems like a no-brainer, but it's this. What is your name? What is your name? Now, if you're anything like me, maybe you tend to forget someone's name quickly, okay? If so, I just want to encourage you to find a tool to help you. Maybe write it down. Write it down shortly after meeting this new person. Or correlate something about them with their name. I don't know, maybe you meet this new guy, and his name is Barry, and he happens to have a beard. So maybe in your mind, don't say it out loud, but maybe in your mind, you make up a nickname for him, right? Something like Bearded Barry. Remembering someone's name and calling them by at church next time, that's respectful. That shows care. So that's question one in this conversation starter. And then after sharing your name, the second question is, where do you live? Where do you live? That in and of itself, that can be a conversation starter, right? And then the next question is, tell me about your family. Tell me about your family, which is a very intentionally safe question. And why is it intentionally safe? Well, last time I checked, okay, we live in a tricky and a complex culture. So this question is so much better than I don't know, maybe the question, are you married, right? I mean, that may make someone uncomfortable right off the bat because of maybe their complex history or because of an ill-perceived notion that they're lesser than for not being married. So it's tell me about your family. And intentionally, again, open-ended question. And then next we have this for a question. What do you like to do with your time? What do you like to do with your time? Now, Dennis Jackson, the Global Partners leader who shared this with us, he had some images, he had some motions for each of these questions to help us remember them, which honestly, some escape me right now, okay? But for this one, I do remember him asking us to just think of a clock, to think of a clock and maybe one with praying hands on it. And this clock, as you think about that, it helps us to remember to ask them something related to what they like to do with their time or how they spend their time. And it is here that we can find out a lot of things. We can find out about their job. We can find out about their hobbies. We can find out things like what is important to them. And I'll tell you what, don't be afraid to ask follow-up questions, you know, more questions. Just be careful, okay? Don't come across too aggressively. Don't come across weird, okay? The idea is being genuinely interested in a person made in the image of God. That's the goal. That's the gospel, too. To look at everybody in the image of God with and ask them questions, interact without being creepy, okay? And then the last question that was shared as a part of this conversation starter, it relates to those praying hands we talked about to visualize on the clock. The last question is this, and it's a bit of a risky one, but it's a brilliant one, okay? How can I best pray for you? How can I best pray for you? Listen, by adding the word best, you will often hear something that is of great concern to the person with whom you're conversating. And as a bonus question, don't be afraid to ask, can I pray for you right now? And if they say yes, do it. Do it. Now keep it brief. Don't embarrass them. Pray for just what they shared. Stick to the script. Just something simple like, I don't know, dear God, Donna's worried about her daughter. We pray for her daughter right now that you would help her to make good choices. And God, help Donna to know how to be an encouragement for her daughter. Amen. Now, to do all that, you may say, Pastor, I'm not comfortable doing that. I'm not comfortable. Well, to that, can I say this to you as a friend? Push yourself. Push yourself. Praying for someone is not part of every conversation, but when it's appropriate, it's special. And just know that the second time, it will be easier than the first time. Trust me. So with that said, we spent a fair amount of time here at the first directive that we see from Paul in Colossians 4 to pray and how it is to be a primary way that we embrace the ministry that we've been given as messengers of reconciliation with God. And how through it, okay, we can better deal with the polarization and deal with it to the point where it's not at the expense of the important message, the gospel. So with that, pray. Pray in the morning. Something as simple as, dear Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? And pray for open doors and pray for opportunities to be and to be present and to present this good news in good ways, in clear ways, with clarity, which part of that clarity may come from listening, right? Listen for what the person in front of you does for a living and what they do for fun, and listen for things about their background, right? Bottom line is this, a little understanding helps you and I to communicate with someone and to build trust. And then second thing that Paul tells us is this, be wise, right? Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Now, church, outsiders here is not a negative term, okay? It can feel that way, or it can tend to put someone off, but an outsider is simply someone who is not, and hopefully not yet, okay, but someone who is not yet following Jesus. An outsider is simply someone Jesus is calling to himself to give them life, hope, and a plan who has yet to receive him and it, that plan. An outsider, in other words, was us. It was us before we accepted him. and began walking with and for Christ. So be wise, church. Be wise as you act toward outsiders and listen to you, right? And listen as you watch and as people listen to you. Be wise about that. Again, our action, church, and our words, they can either draw someone closer to God or they can drive them further away. And the whole while, our Father loves them. The whole while, our Father loves them and He wants them. He wants all, even that person who you harbor the most against. He wants them all to be a part of His ever-growing family, the church. So make the most of every opportunity. For it is at this decision point where the chance lies, right? That's the chance to demonstrate the love of God or not. And here is the chance to show them His wisdom. And here is the chance to be a people of hope. So how are you doing with those chances? How are you doing with them? How am I doing with them? Really, how are we doing with them? And especially in the midst of polarizing topics. And this doesn't mean that we always come across looking like we have our act together or like we're always happy, clappy, right? It doesn't look like that because we don't and we aren't. And I am convinced that sometimes people find our struggles as Christians more accessible or relatable than our victories. So be wise. Be wise as you act toward outsiders. Give the gospel a chance. What does Paul say next? Well, he says this: let your conversations always be full of grace. Let me ask you this: are you full of grace? Is your experience of God's grace growing? Is it growing deeper and deeper every day? Have you tasted the grace that draws us to God? Have you been reconciled with God, forgiven because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, the gospel? And do you ever just reflect upon the grace in that, His grace? Do you ever reflect upon it where it starts to like take your breath away a little bit? Do you experience God's healing grace in your life and in your relationships? Do you count on God's sustaining grace as you go forward? Now, what does this at all have to do with being a grace-filled person? Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard, maybe even impossible, to have the fullest, okay, of grace-filled conversations if you aren't a grace-filled person yourself. We need to be with Him regularly to feel that grace, to experience it anew. He calls us to be full of grace, and it's His grace that He gifts us. So maybe that's where you need to begin today, receiving His grace anew or receiving it for the first time. And what does a full of grace conversation look like? Well, I think the beginning of it is, it looks like asking questions that open doors. It looks like that. And I think it looks like when speaking of and to others that we are gracious in our conversation. I think it looks like owning our own struggles, owning our own questions. Be honest. And when you don't know something, admit it. And it also looks like things like not gossiping, right? I mean, how can others feel safe with us if we gossip, knowing that they might be the object of such gossip in our next conversation? Because maybe they're over here and we're over there. You know, also full of grace conversations, they look like ones without being a know-it-all, okay? Be willing to actually share things that are uplifting. Grace-filled conversations, they look like that. Just let your conversation always be full of grace. But Paul also adds what? What does he add about these conversations? That they be seasoned with salt. Now, when you bite into something well-seasoned, and speaking of salt, I make the best popcorn. I really do. I really do. I love it. When you bite into something, again, that's well-seasoned, especially if you're hungry, that gets your attention, doesn't it? You want more of it, don't you? So I wonder, I wonder, what if my conversations were as good as the popcorn I make? What if they were? And what if all of ours as Christians' conversations were like that? What if, in other words, people wanted more conversations with us because we're like so interesting to talk to or something? And do you know what is interesting? Do you know what is? Dialogue is interesting. Civil discourse is interesting. Give and take is interesting, which we really stink at. We as a people, we stink at that anymore, and it's hurting us as a people. What if we had what I would call more nuanced conversations instead of talking like a bumper sticker? You can't talk back or with a bumper sticker, can you? And when it's out there, it's what? It's out there. There's no dialogue in that. In fact, comedian, actor, writer, director, cartoonist, musician Dimitri Martin, I don't think he could have any more talents, but he said this once. A lot of people don't like bumper stickers. I don't mind them. To me, a bumper sticker is a shortcut. It's like a little sign that says, hey, let's never hang out. Listen, church, real conversations, the way that they should be, the way that they're intended to be, the way that God would want them to be between civilized people, they go deeper than bumper stickers. And they allow room for dialogue. They demand respect on both sides. They are made up of civil discourse. They are made up of things like an openness to listen and to learn. A place where we actually listen to one another. A place where we can actually find ourselves saying and legitimately living from the position of saying things like, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. That's something I've never considered. Or they could see us saying things like, you aren't what I expected at all. And wouldn't it be great if we heard those comments more? And another thing to mention here is let's grow. Let's grow to be interesting conversationalists. Read and listen. Listen to someone who comes from a different perspective sometimes. Let your conversations always be seasoned with salt. And why? What's the why of all this? Well, the why is the final phrase from this section of Colossians. So that you may know, right, how to answer everyone. Church, when we get this more right, this whole grace-filled conversation thing, when we get that more right, we are first and foremost, and most importantly, we are honoring God. And we are giving him the best chance to truly work. And then we have to leave it up to him. We have to trust him. When we truly care about people, when we respond in gracious ways, that tends to shock people. That just does in today's polarized environment. Maybe even as Christians, when we're like that, that tends to shock people. And when we live in an interesting, winsome life, when we have that, people, you know what? They will ask questions like, what's this or that about? Or why do you act like this when I expected that? Which can lead to questions like, what do you think about that? Or if nothing else, they are at least watching, right? They are at least watching and wondering about you and potentially starting to follow you as you follow Christ. Because our goal at the end of the day, church, should not be to be the smartest kid in the room, because it's not about us. It's about him. It's about Jesus. It's about drawing people toward him. He who has changed our lives in such wonderful ways that we want them to experience the hope, the healing, and the grace that we have experienced every day. That's what we want. That's our ministry. As the worship team comes forward, I want us just to ask ourselves these things, okay? As we think, as we reflect. And the first thing is this. Do I accept this message and this ministry of reconciliation? Do I accept the ministry he's entrusted to me? Because if you love and if you follow Jesus, it is something that God has for you. Let's also ask ourselves, are we prayed up? Are we prayed up? Are we looking for opportunities to have positive conversations with others? And let's also reflect upon, as we pray and during this song, let's ask ourselves, are we being wise? Are we being wise in the way that we act toward outsiders? Let's ask ourselves, do they find our lives interesting? Are we winsome? Is our conversation full of grace? Am I an engaging person to know and to talk to? Let's pray and reflect. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and there's no doubt that this place we live in is complicated. It's polarized. There's not a lot of room in the middle for, there's not a lot of room for civil discourse between people. We quickly just get those walls up, and we get shut down a lot, and that's tough. It's painful. So what are we to do? Well, you tell us. You tell us to pray. You tell us to ask for those opportunities, and we're coming to you. I'm asking for them. And we want to make your goal our goal, which is the ministry of reconciliation. We want that to be first and foremost. We want to be crystal clear on that as we go forward. And we want to have the opportunities to show your love to others, because that's the best opportunity you have to turn a life, to start following you. And we want to be a people that have grace-filled conversations. Help us, Lord. Help us in that. Shower that down upon us. Fill us with your Spirit in this moment so that we can go forward to do that. For your honor and your glory, we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can stand and worship through song if you'd like.